You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory.
And welcome back to another episode,
a special edition episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio.
I hope you're doing well. Before we begin talking about hummus, the controversial hummus, some love it, some think it's disgusting vomit. Let's go over some of the basics here. My website is naturopathicearth.com, N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H-I-C, earth.com. Go there, check out my articles, check out my recipes, just look at pictures. You can look at my Instagram feed, you can look at my Twitter feed. Go check that out. Also know that I established a Patreon account. If you want to donate some money to maintain the website and to maintain the podcast because you get something out of it, go to that. There are many links on each of the episode notes of these episodes as well as on the website. You can donate $1, $5, whatever you like. A dollar would be great. That's $12 a year if my math is correct, and that would help pay for some of the website expenses. All right, so let's talk about hummus. All right, my initial experience with hummus is when I was in high school. My father used to bring hummus home from a Middle Eastern restaurant in Houston called Drubies. I think the Drubies family were Lebanese, I believe. And he would bring it home with tabbouleh salad, and I would eat it, and I would try, and I thought, I go, Dad, this stuff's disgusting. He's like, you don't know what you're talking about. This is very, very good. Jesus ate this food. The entire world eats hummus. All the Muslim world, the Mediterranean world. That's how he talked. Okay? He was a Mexican immigrant. He was a doctor, but very, very, always had a thick accent. He was in America for like 60 years, and he still had that accent. But I did begin to eat it the older I got. And I'm at the point now where I'm a hummus junkie. I love hummus. There's certain flavors, of course, I like more than others. And I've learned through my travels and through going to different restaurants, essentially Greek versus Persian versus Arab, that hummus is made slightly differently. And depending on where you go and depending on the brand that you buy, it is slightly different. But as a whole, the key components are the same. And I love hummus so much that I give it to my kids, and my 2.5-year-old, he eats hummus with his fingers, of course. Or he'll eat it with blue corn chips and then just leave all the chips in there and close it up. And so I'll open it up another day and there's like soggy blue corn chips in there. But hummus is great. But there are some things you need to know about hummus to avoid the tricks of the trade. We know in the clean eating world that that big food likes to adulterate and or water down our food to make it cheaper for them. So we're going to cover that as well. But in general, hummus, what is it? It is chickpeas or garbanzo beans that are smushed up and pureed into like a liquidy form. And then the typical classic ingredient aside from that is tahini. And tahini is an extract that comes from the sesame seed. Once you put those two in there, then from there it can vary. I think traditional hummus would have olive oil in there. And then they put in whatever spices that you want. And that is the classic hummus. Now, hummus is seen in the food world as kind of being a low-carb snack. But the thing about hummus being a low-carb snack is you can't eat a lot of it for it to be a low-carb snack. So it's kind of like peanut butter. If you look at the serving size of, let's say, Pita Pal or Sabra, one of the national brands, the serving sizes are always the same. It's about 2 tablespoons. So 2 tablespoons is a decent amount, I suppose. But 2 tablespoons is 70 calories and 3.5 grams of fat, which is fine. 8 grams of carbs, which is not as low carb as you would think. 2 grams of fiber, which is decent, especially if you eat a lot of it. I mean, you're getting some fiber from the beans. 1 gram of sugar, 3 grams of protein. The sugar will range. Some brands will have zero. But that's the general kind of macronutrient profile of it. So if you're only eating a dollop of it as a snack, sure, 8 grams of carbs is certainly low, especially if it doesn't have sugar and it has a decent amount of protein and fat. But I don't know about you, but I could eat at least 4 serving sizes. Like if you go to a Middle Eastern restaurant, for example, they're not going to give you 2 tablespoons. They might give you a decent amount. I mean, they're not going to give you a lot. The places I go to here in San Antonio, I wish they'd give me more hummus, but I would estimate that their serving size is probably 3 times the serving size here. So you're looking at 250 calories and 24 grams of carbs. So, I mean, it's not that carb low. So it's not the ideal low carb treat, but it is very, very tasty. It is extremely tasty. So let's cover some of the pitfalls that you need to avoid when buying your hummus, because there are certain pitfalls. All right, number one is watch the water. Watch the water. So what I mean by this is that if you look at the ingredient list of the commercial hummuses, a lot of them, especially the lower grade inferior brands that you would get from Target or your local supermarket, if you look at the back, the first ingredient should always be chickpeas, right? I mean, it is a chickpea paste. After that, you'll see it should be some sort of oil, or the tahini should be the second ingredient. But in some cases, it can be water. It can be water. And of course, the reason they do this is to water it down so they can use less tahini, because tahini is relatively expensive. If you go to the grocery store and you want to buy straight out tahini, it's a little more expensive, and olive oil is expensive. So they're like, let's put in water, let's put in some filler. So before you buy any hummus, or if you're an advocate or proponent of a certain brand that you love a lot, look in the back and see if water is the second ingredient. If water is the second ingredient, throw it out or start buying a new brand. All right, the second thing you got to look out for when you're buying your hummus, and I'm mentioning here, I'm drinking a Trader Joe's white tea with pomegranate. It's pretty good right now. I'm in that warm zone right now, so I can't. I don't want to pause this. I want to be live and authentic and drink this live. The second one, and this is probably the most important thing, is watch the oils. Now, we've talked about MPE 14, 15 in that area, the inflammatory effects of vegetable oil. Also, we had that episode on the 3 ingredients that 80% of all packaged food have, which is sugar, flour, and vegetable oils. Now, a lot of us, and I don't want to go off tangent because I want to keep this podcast kind of short, but a lot of us have grown up thinking that vegetable oils are healthy for us. This is the corn oil, the canola oil, the soybean oils, and that butter and lard is bad for us, right? But the science was skewed and honestly fraudulent. If you go back to Ansel Keys, who is the pioneer of vegetables and suppressing saturated fat and telling us not to eat bacon and eggs and telling us to eat more vegetable oil, more grains. And that's why we're all overweight and diabetic. But anyway, the point here is that look on the back. Now, a good hummus will have olive oil in it, olive oil. But unfortunately, the large majority of hummus don't have olive oil. They use canola oil or they use soybean oil. And the problem with these is that the vegetable oils are highly inflammatory. They're full of omega-6s. And I don't want to go off on the fatty acid tangent here. Go back to that episode on what you need to know about fats. There's an episode on that. But the profile of vegetable oil is very high in the inflammatory omega-6 and low on the omega-3. And as a whole, Americans eat too much of the omega-6 and not enough omega-3. Omega-6 in itself is not bad. For example, nuts have omega-6 fatty acids in it. But the problem is the profile has got to be balanced, and it's not balanced. We eat too much of the 6. And the reason we eat too much of the 6 is because everything we eat that's packaged has vegetable oil. And of course, every time we eat out, everything is prepared in vegetable oil. They don't prepare it in butter. So this is just another culprit. Another thing you got to look out for is hummus. Hummus, most of them are going to be using the inflammatory vegetable oils, which are inflammatory to your coronary arteries, to your arteries in general, and they cause plaque buildup and they lead to heart disease. So we really want to limit these and actually, believe it or not, go back to butter, or you can do avocado oil or coconut oil. So take a look on the back, and certain brands, like I believe Whole Foods, I used to buy a Whole Foods brand, and of course it's a little more expensive, but the Whole Foods brand did use olive oil. But if you're looking at the typical like well-known brands, like Cedars, for example, Cedars is a national brand, they use sunflower oil and olive oil, so that's not as bad. Sunflower oil isn't as bad as the other ones, but still it's not ideal. If you look at Sabra uses soybean oil, and again, soybean is genetically modified, so that's another issue you might want to have with that one, with the Sabra. And then Pita Pal uses sunflower oil and organic olive oil. So again, Pita Pal is probably the best way to go in terms of the national brands, but just look out for that. Issue number three, as the McLaughlin Group, John McLaughlin from the McLaughlin Group would say, issue number three, preservatives. So a lot of the hummus are full of preservatives. So again, look on the back, and the most common culprit is going to be potassium sorbate. Potassium sorbate is in a host of processed foods. Go back to episode 8 on the clean eating pantry and clean eating fridge, one of those I did with the Kate. And we talk about the issues with the preservatives in food. So potassium sorbate typically is the du jour preservative that is put into a lot of these hummus, as well as citric acid. But citric acid is actually kind of used as a preservative, but it's actually used for some taste. But the problem with the preservatives is that, again, there's been studies that show that the human body decomposes slower than it's ever done in human history because we're ingesting so many of these preservatives. Pretty much every packaged food is shot up with preservatives. Why? To increase shelf life, to make it look fresher, and to give it color. And so if you think, well, I'm eating potassium sorbate or one of the other ones, here and there, it probably won't affect you. But pretty much our entire diet, unless you're eating paleo, is full of potassium citrate, potassium sorbate, and all these other sodium nitrate, all these other preservatives. So it's an issue. Now, can you find hummus that don't have a preservative? Ugh. Good luck on that. I mean, you probably could. I mean, I think Cedars' ingredient list, if I remember correctly, does not have potassium sorbate in it. But the large majority of them do have it. And it even says on the back, it says to add freshness. But Pita Pal, I'm looking at the ingredient list for Pita Pal. So it's got organic chickpeas, organic tahini, organic lemon juice, organic garlic, organic sunflower oil, organic olive oil, organic vinegar, water, and lots of love. Can't forget that crucial ingredient, lots of love. So look, Pita Pal is a great brand. It's a little more expensive, but it's a great brand. So there you go. That one doesn't have a preservative in it. But just be careful. Be careful on the preservatives. All right, the fourth and last thing that you need to look out for in the world of hummus is look out for the flavoring, because a lot of things, this goes back to kombucha, this goes back to peanut butters, this goes back to yogurts. You know, if you're eating just the straight out unflavored varieties of these things, they're relatively good for you. But nowadays, if you look at the peanut butters, for example, there's like cookie butter, there's honey mustard flavored peanut butter, there's cinnamon flavored peanut butter, and Greek yogurt, of course, you know, there's all the fruit varieties. But nowadays, because it's kind of in the news and the makers of hummus know that people want to eat hummus because it's perceived to be healthy, they've kind of spiced it up and made flavors that are not traditional hummus. Now, the traditional hummus flavors would be hummus, regular hummus, garlic hummus, which I like, hummus with pine nuts, hummus with olives in it. I mean, that's kind of the traditional Mediterranean, Near East, Middle East view of hummus. But nowadays, we have like jalapeno flavored. We have Texas flavored. I mean, there's even barbecue flavored. And of course, there's like green chili, sun-dried tomato. I mean, there's even chocolate flavored hummus. Chocolate flavored hummus. So what you're looking out for is that you got to look on the back and look at the in macronutrient profile and the ingredient list, because to make these flavored like barbecue, they're typically adding a lot of salt and a lot of sugar, not to mention what other flavoring that's giving it that particular flavor. Now, I haven't looked at the chocolate hummus. Let's hope that there's actually cacao in it, if not cocoa powder. But the thing is, like, they know that it's like, well, you know, most Americans are uncultured and unsophisticated. This is what big pita pal, big hummus says. You know, they're so unrefined. They don't even know that Arabs and Turks are not the same. So they won't eat hummus unless we Americanize it like we do with the Chinese food and just make it very American. So let's come up with like, apple pie hummus. Yes, let's do apple pie hummus, and let's do pizza flavored hummus. And so people say, oh, wow, pizza flavored hummus. And they, you know, oh, I love hummus. No, you might like hummus, but you like the pizza flavored hummus. So look, guys, hummus is a great snack. And if it takes you to eat the flavored variety to get in, to bring you in, as Al Pacino's Michael Corleone says in The Godfather 3, I keep trying to leave, but they keep pulling me back in. But to get you in, that's fine. But ideally, get off of those because, again, I mentioned they have more calories, they're going to have more sugar, they're going to have more preservatives, and try to get to the traditional hummus, the traditional flavors I've already mentioned. All right, that's pretty much my talk about hummus here. Personally, I love garlic hummus. I love garlic hummus. I will put garlic, because garlic's so good for you, but I just like the taste of garlic. This is probably one of the reasons why I'm single, because it probably brings bad breath. But I love garlic hummus. And honestly, I like the original flavors, partly because one of the more common flavors that they do in hummus now is like green chili and the spicy ones. And I'm not really big into the spicy stuff. So hummus is definitely something that you should try. If you've never eaten it before, then give it a shot. I'm sure most of the people who listen to this podcast, and I love the fact that I have people in England and in Europe who listen to this, because I can track that. So hello everyone in England. Hello. I'm sure most of you have eaten it, because if you have never been to Europe, Americans recently, there's a lot of ethnic food over there. You'd be shocked. Like if you go to London, I mean, shawarmas pretty much is like the English sandwich nowadays. Get some shawarmas and some gyros and, you know, chicken tikka masala. You know, there's tons of Indian food everywhere in England. So no offense to the English cuisine, of course. But my point is, guys, most of you tried it. These are just some tips. The ideal thing, honestly, is to make your own. And here in America, you can buy a can of chickpeas, and then Bush's. Bush's is a common brand. They make beans a lot. They actually make a hummus flavoring. And so what you can do is put in the garbanzo beans, the chickpeas, into a mixer, and then pour in this Bush hummus flavoring, and then it'll whip it up, and then you can make it, and it tastes good. But just be careful on the Bush flavoring, because the Bush flavoring is going to have everything that we've already mentioned. So the ideal thing is just make your own. Now, I have tried to make my own, and to make your own, you just buy chickpeas, a can of chickpeas, and buy the tahini. You can buy tahini, the sesame oil, and then buy some olive oil, and then throw in whatever herbs you want and mix it up. The problem is I'm a horrible cook, and the few times that I have tried it, it has not come out to my liking, and I ended up throwing it out. And I lack the patience and I suppose the foresight to think that I will be saving so much money if I just make my own hummus and spend time doing trial and error and coming up with an ingredient and a consistency that I like in the hummus and just buying that. Instead, I'm buying $2.50 hummus a couple of times a week. So it would save me money. So that is my parting advice to you is if you love hummus and you are a good cook, make your own hummus at home. It's just like the non-dairy milks. Make your own almond milk at home. It's not that hard. Of course, I don't do it. But that's what I've been told. Just make it at home because it could. You can control the ingredients. And with anything that we buy at the store, you can't control the ingredients. But if you make it at home, you can. Last thing I want to mention is, of course, post a review for this podcast on iTunes or anywhere that you listen to podcasts. It would take you a minute or two, and it would really help me out. As I said, we're just teachers that are just doing this on the side for a little fun, but it would help out if we got some more reviews. Until next time, guys, take care. Enjoy this special episode. I know I mentioned I was going to do one a week, but yeah, I woke up a little early. I'm like, let's talk about hummus because I love hummus and I want to support big hummus. It's one of the big industries I want to support. Okay, guys, until next time, take care. Bye-bye and God bless.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.